Cholesterol often gets a bad rap, but what if I told you that cholesterol, high cholesterol, could be one of the keys to living to 100? It sounds crazy, but a recent study is shedding light on this cholesterol myth. Welcome to another episode of Executive Health and Life. I'm your host, Julian Hayes II. And as I mentioned, we are talking about cholesterol and how high cholesterol could maybe perhaps be one of the keys to living to 100. And there's a few more biomarkers that we're going to discuss in this episode as well. But we are covering as a whole centenarians and unraveling a few things that have helped them reach that milestone. And when I mention centenarians in particular, we are going to cover their blood work and their biomarkers. Because up until this point, when we think about 100, we probably oftentimes look at an individual who has either hit 100 or even went way beyond 100 and thought there's some luck involved, there's some genetics and a few things, but nothing really granular and concrete up until now. And I'm going to share my screen for a little bit, and we're going to do something a little bit. I'm going to cover the news here. This was recently released. This was released in September in Geroscience, but it's been making waves at a bunch of different outlets recently. And in this study here, it's the largest study of centenarians released up until this point. And the great news is, you know, this is a simple blood test. A lot of the things that I share on this channel, even with my consulting clients, is those things you have to go way beyond just a simple blood test. Those things are coming purely out of pocket. There's no insurance is not going to cover those things. But here, this is a simple blood test that, for all intents and purposes, to my memory, all these are going to be covered by your insurance on any typical plan, I think. Maybe one or two, maybe not. But I'm going to share all those 12 later. And so this simple blood test can give you a great start and a great idea on the likelihood of reaching to 100, according to this study here. And the good news is, if those numbers are off, at least you know now, right? You're not in the dark. You're not shooting in the dark. You're not having hope as a strategy now. So as I mentioned, this study was published in the journal Geroscience, and it measured the different levels of different molecules in the blood of people born between 1893 and 1920. That seems like so long ago. And this study compared biomarkers in individuals who reached their 100th birthday compared to those who did not. And the cool thing about this study is just the amount of people and subjects. It had 44,000 subjects in it, with 2.7% that was reaching their 100th birthday. So that's around 1,200 individuals. And there were strong associations that were found between biomarker levels and the probability of reaching 100 years of age. And this shouldn't be a surprise, but maybe to some people it is, that the prevalence of cardiovascular disease and metabolic disease is much lower in centenarians, as it should be. And lifestyle factors, genetics, and of course the environment are likely to play a role with regards to our longevity. One thing I've been really diving into and talking about just with friends and peers, and it's something that I don't pay as much attention to, is my environment. And in particular, the whole realm of social fitness. And so this is it's a key thing. And I know there's a Blue Zone documentary out right now. And that's once again bringing to light environment. So once you have all these things in place, that's when biohacking and just optimization overall can kind of help offset these things. So I'm going to come back and take this screen out here if you're watching this online, or I mean on the audio. Let me change this. Okay. So now I'm going to leave that link in case you want to go through it all and read the whole research study and everything. But anyway, now I'll just give a summary of everything and a few thoughts about it. So as I mentioned, there's 12 blood-based molecules that are associated with our metabolism, inflammation, and that's including liver and kidney function as well. And the good thing with those 12 molecules is that they were also all linked to aging and mortality from previous studies done. So you have these various molecules and biomarkers. This is going to include your total cholesterol, glucose. These are markers of metabolism. You have uric acid, which is indicating, which is a underrated marker for measuring inflammation levels. Then you have enzymes that are indicative of liver health, and creatinine, which is a measure of your kidney health. And so researchers also looked at albumin and iron levels in the blood. And except for the liver enzyme and the albumin, all other molecules there were found linked to the likelihood of a person becoming a centenarian. And so those with the increased levels of total cholesterol and iron had a greater likelihood of becoming centenarians compared to those with lower levels. Now, the molecules, though, with the glucose, creatinine, and uric acid, and the liver enzymes, lower levels were associated with a higher chance of living past 100. And as I mentioned earlier, uric acid is a indirect marker of inflammation that a lot of times we don't think about, because the main inflammation marker usually on blood tests is going to be your hsCRP. And that's typically the go-to for inflammation levels. And this was low in centenarians. Also on here, when you think about uric acid can also be increased due to alcohol consumption. And creatinine, once again, is a biomarker of renal function, though that's not the total. If I was looking at total kidney health, I wouldn't just rely on just that one biomarker, especially for us lifters out there. So speaking of cholesterol, that's a big one. That's a big surprise one for people, because when you hear high cholesterol and you see the world oftentimes really demonizes cholesterol, you know, there's a good cholesterol and there's a bad cholesterol. And that's not necessarily true. Like most things in life, there's nuance involved. There's appropriate levels, optimized levels, but something as just blanketed being good or bad, not necessarily. And that's good that this conversation around cholesterol is starting to come out more, because cholesterol has a benefit. Anything that's in our body, any type of nutrient, hormone, even genes, they have a benefit. You know, think about our genes. There's really no good or bad genes. The genes we have is the genes we needed to actually get to this point now. Maybe we live in a different environment than what our genes before were living in. And maybe that's why our genes don't match up with this current environment. And that's probably why we have problems. But I don't want to digress. So when you hear high cholesterol, don't freak out. The interesting thing here is not saying, hey, as soon as possible, spike your cholesterol. No, it's saying that it's seen during the study there that once you got over the age of 65, there's a protective component of having a high total cholesterol. This doesn't mean, once again, now I'm not playing a doctor, but this doesn't mean to deliberately try to raise your cholesterol levels. No, absolutely not. And so also, when you think about cholesterol, and I want to add this preference here as well, this wasn't in the study, but when you're aiming to get a bigger and a better picture of your overall cholesterol, you don't just go by total cholesterol. Look into ApoB, ApoA, and that's going to offer insights, really good insights, into your lipoprotein health. And then also look into your triglycerides. And this is also going to help offer insights into your metabolic health. Now, they mentioned liver enzymes, and I mentioned that a few times as well. And so some of the key ones during this time was AST, ALP, and GGT. Now, most panels that you'll go to get a basic physical or something like that, I think you'll have AST and ALP, but you might not have GGT. And GGT is a very, it's an important marker that is underrated. I think I did an episode on a while back. I don't remember the exact number, but I talked about underrated lab markers and biomarkers, and GGT was one of them. So in this case, GGT was the one that was spotlighted in this study. And this is key, because this one is not ran frequently at your doctor's office unless you ask for it. So your GGT liver enzyme test, this is going to help reflect the turnover of glutathione and oxidative stress in your body. And so speaking of glutathione, I recorded an episode a while back. I don't remember the number of this one as well, but this was a while back. And you can just use the search button and or go through the videos and the episodes. And it's the one with Dr. Nayan Patil, who wrote the definitive book on glutathione. And it was an awesome, awesome interview. He's a wealth of knowledge and pretty much taught me a lot of things about glutathione. But so definitely go back and check that out. But GCT is also something that randomly life insurance companies look at as well. And once again, the reason why they're going to do this is because this is a marker. It's a liver enzyme, right? Specifically in a liver enzyme. And someone's an alcoholic, that's going to show up as well. And those numbers can potentially be skewed out there. So that's one reason why the life insurance companies are going to look at GGT. So as I land this ship, it's I want to organize this a little more for you to give you kind of a takeaway and a high-level summary. I've kind of just been quickly going through this study here and just offering my insights with it as well. So yeah, so nevertheless, let's quickly go through these 12 biomarkers to keep in mind. Use these on your next executive checkup or just your annual checkup, whichever type of checkup you do, or if you just feel like going to get some blood work done. Keep these in mind. Number one is total cholesterol. But remember, when you're getting labs, to include the other ones that I mentioned when it comes to cholesterol as well. Two is glucose. Creatinine is 3. 4 is uric acid. 5 is ALAT, which is alanine aminotransferase. The next one is 6, which is ASAT. This is another liver enzyme as well. ALT was a liver enzyme as well. So this one stands for aspartate aminotransferase. The next one is albumin, and then GGT, as we talked about, gamma glutamyl transferase. And another one is ALP. This is 9. This is alkaline phosphatase. And number 10 here we have is LD, which is another liver enzyme. And this is lactate dehydrogenase. And number 11 is TIBC, which is your iron binding capacity. This simply measures your ability, your body's ability to attach iron and carry it throughout your body. And lastly, we have iron here. So those are your 12 that was included overall in this study here. Because I think a lot of the articles on the news that are sharing this research study, they're really highlighting maybe 3 or 4 of them, but not really mentioning all 12. And so I also think, though, some of the last final takeaways here, I think that overall lifestyle and diet, of course, is going to play a huge role here. And that can't be overlooked. And that wasn't necessarily shared in this study here, but it's pretty much impossible to do that with that many people in everything. And those things are a key part with glucose and kidney functioning. So I would be really curious to see the types of diets mostly that these people eat. And this will be something that we will have to start doing now, or maybe I'm sure people are doing it now with some other study that will come out maybe 20, 30 years from now. But I'm really interested to see about the types of lifestyle and diets that they're doing to kind of get these results compared to what most of the other people don't. 2.7 is a very small percentage. So it's not just genetics. Genetics is a small portion of it, but the greater percentage is really comes down to our decisions and behaviors and actions on a daily basis. And lastly, the authors concluded, I think this was important to note as well, the authors concluded that the values for nearly all of these biomarkers were distinctive in centenarians. The only ones were the alanine, aminotransferase, and the albumin. So if you have any questions or you like these types of episodes, we could do more to offer more of a change of pace instead of the interviews and some of the more solo episodes I do teaching something, where this is just a quick episode that I'll try to keep below 15 minutes to cover something interesting. Let me know if you like these or not. And if you're interested in any of our various longevity programs or performance programs, or you would simply like to have a 1 or 2 off session just to go over some of your health stuff and get some recommendations to get a plan set up for you, don't hesitate to reach out. So until next time, though, stay awesome, be limitless, and as always, go be the CEO of your health and your life. Peace.